Get ready to take a flamethrower to the official narrative and learn what the elites don't want you to know. You're listening to the Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. It is episode 2530 of the Tom Woods Show, and I'm delighted to welcome Jeremy Bellotti to the show, and we've got a number of things to talk to him about. I guess you got the idea from the title of the episode. We are going to be spending some time talking about a major change in Jeremy's life that may be illustrative for some people listening who have contemplated something similar. But first, Jeremy is the founder of PersonalMastery.com. He's been referred to as the secret go-to expert on mindset and business mastery. He's one of the most well-respected and highest-paid coaches in the personal growth space. He's actually one of the few coaches on earth who has clients who've been willing to pay up to $1 million per year to get access to his proprietary mastery methodology. And I want to tell you, by the way, that not only is he your go-to guy for, let's say, helping you get unstuck, but he's also great. You'll get to say hello in a minute, Jeremy. Hang on a minute. I just want to say a little word about an experience I had when Jeremy spoke at my conference back in June. And I know a handful of you listening were in the room with us, and you know what I'm talking about. So I held a conference in June. It was an unconference, which means the participants kind of power the conference, and they come up with the ideas for the presentations, and then you look at the different presentations in the different time slots, and you choose which one sounds interesting to you. So I wanted to hear Jeremy speak. I'd gotten to know him in my mastermind, and I wanted to see what this hot shot was all about. So I went in, and he was saying, look, among other things, and he's better at this than I am, but among other things, he said, look, I think it's uncontroversial that we all perform better in every aspect of our lives when we are not overcome by fear, especially avoidable fear and stress and other sorts of things that affect our decision-making and our tranquility. And so if we can attack those things, we can get optimal performance. So he asked us to think about what is our worst fear. And a lot of people in the room said their worst fear was being not just bankrupt, but having literally $0 in the bank. That was their worst fear. Now, that wasn't exactly my worst fear, but as soon as I heard everybody say that, I thought, okay, that's at least tied for first for me. Okay, I admit, that's a pretty terrible scenario. So I don't want to give away the details, but Jeremy walked us through an exercise where we all started off with, on a scale of 0 to 10, this outcome is a 10 that we are terrified of. And he walked us through an exercise, and by the time he was done with it, we had come to terms with this outcome. Like we were prepared to handle it. We were no longer irrationally fearful of it. We were more in command of ourselves. And he did this in 20 blankety blank minutes. I don't know how. So Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's very good to be here. And if I remember correctly, you were at like a 15 out of 10, like at a 0 out of 10. It was like a 15.
That's right. Yeah, that is a skill, because I do have the 5 kids, you know, I have people to provide for, so that, of course, that would be a scary thing. But I want to start off this episode, because this might be a kind of potpourri sort of episode, but I do want to talk about your personal story, because you told this story to us in basically my backyard, right next to my grill, after we'd all eaten over at my house a couple of months ago. We didn't know this about you. We were all sitting there hanging on your every word. Before we get to that specific story, set the stage for us. Who's Jeremy Bellotti in 2019 before anybody's even heard of COVID?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was a business owner and an entrepreneur and somebody that wanted to be able to share my gift with the world. And I was doing that, and we were hosting events and we were bringing people together from all over the world. I'm very fortunate to have a very global audience of individuals we serve. And my focus at the time was being able to run the business, being able to continue to grow our audience, and being able to continue doing what we were doing. I was currently in Maryland, or at the time I was in Maryland in 2019. The idea of living internationally had been on my mind, and I have actually done that in the past. About 14 years ago, I spent about half the year abroad, and I've traveled and lived in many different places. So the idea of living outside of the US was not foreign to me in that sense. But what we actually did, I actually remember having a conversation with me and my wife and also a very dear friend of mine who I also had partnered with and done some business things with. And we sat down and we were in Maryland at the time, and we all just sat down together and had this conversation around like, where are things going? Like, where is everything from the political to the cultural to the business environment and landscape? Like, where is things going here in the US? Like, what is it looking like in the next 10, 15 years? And we really had a deep conversation to identify like, okay, what direction would me and my wife end up going? Would we go and live abroad? Like, what options do we have? And we ended up identifying, well, as a US citizen, really the only option we have was to explore options like Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico has some really attractive incentives for entrepreneurs to be able to come to the island, to be able to start investing in the island and the local community, to be able to do, you know, business on the island. And we saw that as a great opportunity, not only for that, but also the fact that it was attracting a lot of entrepreneurs. It was what we saw as like a hub of really successful entrepreneurs, people that were doing some very meaningful things. And we wanted to be a part of that environment. We wanted to be around that caliber of individual. And in that conversation in 2019, it really solidified, okay, we are going to start making that move. Because we started to realize that the direction things are going in the next 10 to 15 years, you know, we ask questions like, for example, is the culture of, you know, of success and entrepreneurship, is that going in a direction where it's really going to be fostered and fueled and supported? Or is it going in a direction where it may be looked down upon? If not already, that's happening. Is the ability to be able to raise your kids in the way that you desire and being able to create values at home that really stand for what you want to build in terms of your legacy, is that going to be supported and grow, or is that going to go in a different direction? We looked at everything in that terms of that landscape, and we just realized, okay, we are definitely going to figure out a way to make the adjustment. My wife is originally from Colombia, and so she was currently, at the time in 2019, I was living in Maryland and she was living in Colombia. And so we were essentially figuring out a way as well to bring our worlds together. And of course, Puerto Rico ended up being a great option in that sense too, because, you know, me being an American and primarily English speaking, and her being from Colombia and also bilingual, which our family is now. But at the time, we wanted to find a good kind of neutral grounding, if you will. And we settled on Puerto Rico. And so we had, by the end of 2019, we organized everything to prepare ourselves to move to Puerto Rico, to come together as a family and be able to meet up in Puerto Rico. We had everything scheduled. We had our flights booked, and they were booked for March 2020.
And now we get into the story that you were telling us.
Yes. Which, of course, leads into the reality of what we all faced in 2020, which, yeah, of course, our flights, unfortunately, were canceled, and we had to figure out another way. And so from March to about September 2020, we spent those months every single day on Zoom, connecting with each other, talking about, of course, what was going on and how it just seemed like everybody was going completely insane around this. And we started having deeper conversations around, you know, where are we really wanting to take our family and our future, and what kind of environment do we want to be around? Community do we want to be surrounded with? And where do we want to go that is not going to be heavily restrictive? And so we had those conversations already starting in our mind and talking about. And there was finally a window where I was able to get to Puerto Rico in September, early September of 2020. And so I was able to travel and get everything there from Maryland to Puerto Rico, but my wife was stuck in Colombia. And pretty much the whole year of 2020, the commercial airline network in Colombia was completely shut down. Like, no in and out, no questions asked, like, it just wasn't happening. So we ended up having to find some solutions around getting her from Colombia to Puerto Rico. And by the end of September, we ended up finding an option that allowed someone to privately go into Colombia and fly her out private into Puerto Rico. And the crazy thing about that was, you know, end of September. So now it's October 2020. Well, within a month or two, all of a sudden, there's now new heavy restrictions that are starting to unfold and some heavy mandates that are forcing medical procedures that we just simply were not agree with. And we were not going to be a part of it. So all of a sudden we have even more restrictions. We're now in this environment of Puerto Rico where we originally came because we want to invest in the island. We want to be able to support the local community. We want to connect with these entrepreneurs that are there. And we weren't really able to connect with anyone. Like, everybody was stuck in their homes. I remember, Tom, you'll get a kick out of this. I remember there was one time we were walking in our neighborhood in Puerto Rico, and we're going out, me and my wife are going out for a morning walk, and no one's outside. And of course, we are literally outside in completely open space. And you have individuals that are walking towards us, and it's a what seems to be an older couple, and they are in like full mask, full face shield, like everything. And we're at least 100 yards away, and they're coming towards us, and they immediately then see us, and their first reaction is just like to pretty much move to the other side of the entire like road. And we have this in front of us, and we're just saying like, what are we doing? Really, we really need to re-examine how we're approaching our lifestyle and where we're at and what options there might be. So we go through the end of 2020 and we go into 2021. We officially got married in April of 2021. Our mindset around it was we're going to go ahead and get her green card. We're going to start that process of getting her green card. And we ended up getting kind of involved with the immigration services of the US and starting that process to get her green card. And all of a sudden we hit some major, major walls around that. And a lot of the restrictions started to just get very clear how it was going to completely block us from being able to move forward. Because what happened is we ended up getting to a point where there was major delays, right? So not only was the process itself really just held back, but then there was heavy delays on being able to get interviews because nobody could, you know, nobody was like allowed to walk into the place, right? And then there was an issue in the way that they actually approached the process because typically it's an interview and then you maybe go for like medicals and they'll do a little bit of a checkup or whatnot. Well, we ended up getting told that we need to go do our medicals first, right? Which was against or like completely opposite of like typical protocol. And so the problem is we went to multiple different places or we called up multiple different places to be able to do these medicals and no one would allow us in the building. They would not allow anyone who was unvaccinated in the building. And we ended up coming across one individual that allowed us in and we were in the waiting room and we were looking to just go ahead and get this checkup completely done with and so we can just move on to the next step. And there's other people in the waiting room. The doctor comes in and pulls us out directly from the waiting room, takes us into an entirely different like back room away from everyone. And for and in no other terms, essentially just lets us know that they're not going to put their medical license at risk by signing off on somebody that has chosen not to opt into forced medical experimentation. So we were faced with the reality of not being able to have any solution to even get to the point where we could have the interview of my wife being able to get her green card. And that started a whole nother level of this process where there was these multitude of moments where we started to have these moments of truth and realizing, okay, we need to really start exploring other options because this is going in a direction where we may not even not get approved, but we may actually end up getting declined and we're kind of staying here for such an extended amount of time, there could be an issue. And so 2021 goes by, we still have not heard anything. We still don't have an answer. And we realized by the end of 2021, we really need to start looking at major plan B options outside of the US. And we started putting things on the table. And honestly, like renunciation and things like that was not like a thought in our mind at the time. I certainly knew about that. I knew of that option, but there was no kind of thought towards, okay, that's something that we're just going to need to do. We started looking at ways to be able to travel abroad, maybe we can live for a certain amount of time, you know, somewhere else. And we started looking at options from everywhere from, you know, Asia to Central America to Latin America, everywhere we could think of. A lot of entrepreneurs in the entrepreneurial world are going like to Dubai, for example. And so we just kind of put every option on the table. And it was very challenging once we finally found out that we actually needed to accelerate that process because by early 2022, we were being told that it's not looking good in terms of being able to get us approved for the green card. And if we stay past a certain point, not only would we potentially get rejected from my wife's green card, and that would also kind of force me to have to leave as well. But if we were past a certain point, and we got rejected, we would also be deemed essentially overstaying our visa, or she would be overstaying her visa and be banned from entering the country for like a 10-year ban. Like, we heard this from multiple different attorneys, and we're just like, wait, what? We're waiting on them.
This is what? So you got to make crazy decisions just like that in a way.
Correct. So all of these things started to build up and started to bring to our the realization to us that we need to leave. And it's almost at the point now where we're being forced to really look at our entire scope of options. And so that was when things started to get really challenging and somewhat scary, because we weren't planning on that, right? Like, this was all of a sudden a complete, like, you know, 180 of our entire plan of what we were thinking and what we wanted to, like, do. And it really required us to start looking at options that we never even prepared for or were thinking of at the time. And me and my wife had to sit down and look at everything that was unfolding. And we had to have the conversation around, okay, we definitely don't want to put ourselves in an environment where we are having to force our kids into, you know, learning environments where they're learning values and things that just simply do not align with the legacy we're looking to build. We want to put ourselves in an environment that is surrounded by a community of people that have a character of wanting to do business, wanting to, you know, they're entrepreneurial minded. They want to create meaningful value in the world and come together with that spirit. And we also, of course, were not going to participate in forced vaccination or any of that stuff. And so we had to start examining, okay, what is on the table then? And that's when things got really tough, because what we started to put on the table, based on what we were going through and some of the things that started to come into our world that we didn't think of before, we now have on the table these elements of, you know, things like renunciation was on the table. Things like completely moving out of the US and potentially not coming back because we wouldn't be allowed to, right? Like, at the time, all of those were the reality of the case. For example, if we would have traveled at the time outside of the US, me and my family would not have been allowed back in, right? And, you know, I'm a US citizen, and my wife and we would not have been able to have been allowed back in. So we're facing these circumstances that are requiring us to now look at things in a whole different way. And what we ended up doing is I sat down with my wife and we ended up having one of the most difficult conversations we've ever had, which was putting every single thing, laying it out on the table, everything that we could even consider, could think of, whether we agreed with it, whether we not, whether we liked the idea or not, whether we were like scared of the idea or not, it did not matter. Everything must be on the table. And we need to approach this conversation in a way where we both like had it, kind of had a pre-conversation around it of just like, okay, are we willing to go into this and really look at each one of these and be willing to see what we're about to see? Because we're not going to be able to unsee it. And we both were willing to do that. And we went into it looking at every option. And once you start doing that, you start seeing that things like renunciation, things like living abroad and being able to go outside of the US may potentially open up more opportunities than you thought. And remaining where we were, certainly, for lack of maybe a better way of putting it, we were quite literally on an island prison of our own making. We could not leave. We were in a spot where we were being told we were forced to and mandated to do things that we simply were not in agreement with or in alignment with, and we were not going to comply with. The level of restrictions were way over the top. And we realized, okay, something's not right here. And if we stay, which was just a crazy thing to me as I'm going through this and thinking about it, if we stay here, we have less freedom. If we stay here, we have less self-autonomy and ownership over our life. How is that possible? So that's when it started to unfold. Okay, there's some decisions here that are going to be opening up beyond what we expected. And one of those was relinquishing citizenship.
You don't need to give a whole lot of detail, but I bet some people are curious about what's involved. I mean, is it just a lot of paperwork, or do they interrogate you about why you're doing it?
Yeah. So I will say what we experienced was, and we're very grateful for this, at least the people that we dealt with through the process, it was very professional and it was very courteous, and the process was fairly smooth in that sense. the steps you would need to go through, first and foremost, is you definitely want to take the first step of getting another citizenship, which we had already done, in which case, again, that added to the reality that we looked at and said, well, in terms of traveling, I already now have this other citizenship. Okay, what is the benefit? We had to start looking at, like, what are the benefits and the risks and the drawbacks of having the U.S. citizenship, having the passports, and being able to do business abroad and being able to have the lifestyle we want abroad. So once we got the second passport, it really opened up a whole nother level of this reality that we started kind of considering. So that's the first thing you want to do, though, because you definitely don't want to go into the process and potentially end up without any passport whatsoever, right? And be deemed what's called stateless. So first step for sure would be looking into a second passport, whether that is through a descendant, whether that is through a spouse, you know, you go through a process with your spouse, or citizenship by investment, whichever one you do, make sure that that's kind of like the first thing. Once you do that, like I said, a lot of things open up for you. In the process we had, the things that opened up were we were able to start initiating the renunciation process, which took a little bit of paperwork, but we did a lot of that paperwork up front for the second citizenship. So it made it a little bit easier in that sense of organizing it all for the renunciation process. So it wasn't that crazy. The process of getting an interview was a little bit challenging, primarily because most of the embassies that are around the world, especially at the time, were not even doing interviews. Like, they closed their doors, right? And so we were, one, trying to find embassies that were open, two, trying to find embassies that were willing to do an interview for renunciation, and then being able to lock in that interview within a, you know, reasonable amount of time, because some of the places that were even open at the time were doing interviews, you know, years out. And so we had to, you know, look a lot of different places to find something. We ended up finding one internationally. And once you get clear on where you're going to go for the embassy that you're going to do it, and once you get clear on communicating with them their schedule of interviews, they'll start the process, which is essentially, it's usually a two-step process of like a phone interview where they're going to just connect with you and understand the reasons for renouncing and, you know, the fact that you do know that this is irreversible and making sure that you understand what you're doing and that you're not being, you know, coerced in any way to do it and all these things. And so they do a phone interview. Again, the people we spoke to at least were very kind and very professional. And then once you have that, you have the in-person interview. And what I found was that the in-person interview was fairly formality. It was very straightforward. There wasn't a lot of heavy questions. Of course, there can be, depending on how you're approaching it. We were in a position where we had a genuine reason for and a genuine way of articulating that we were going to be doing this. And so if that's the case, it seems like it was, you know, fairly smooth. I'm sure if you're doing it for any other reasons, then you might catch some major holdups, and potentially rightfully so. During the final interview, it was fairly straightforward. But I will say, walking out, and I never imagined me going through it, and certainly not in this way, but being able to walk out and just feeling like you have this major weight off of your shoulder, this major shadow that is now gone, and this major cloud holding over you that is now dissipated. And it's almost like you have this feeling of real freedom, just being able to say, okay, I now own my life. And my personal identity no longer is attached to some government document.
Yeah, that's true. But now it's going to be attached to some other crummy one, you know. But so where did you wind up?
Yeah, so we wind up in Panama, and we looked at a lot of different places. I did know of, at the time, some individuals in the entrepreneurial world that did move to Panama, but I had never really considered that either. That was not even on our high part of, like, a high level of our list. We were looking at, again, places like Dubai, places like Singapore, and some other places in Latin America. Colombia was actually a very high consideration, as well as Ecuador. We looked at Uruguay, which is where Doug Kesey is, I believe. And we looked at some other different options. And those essentially kind of fell through as we were looking through them. And Panama came on the radar. We started looking into it. I ended up visiting for the very first time in mid-2022 and was able to look around and see that, okay, I think we should do this. And by July 2022, we ended up taking a one-way ticket, you know, two kids, three cats, 17 suitcases, and partridge in a pear tree, and taking a one-way flight out of Puerto Rico.
Hey folks, the conventional wisdom is the only way to grow your money for retirement is to risk it in the stock market, but that's not true. You can reach your financial goals and dreams without taking any unnecessary risks. Bank on Yourself is the proven retirement plan alternative that lets you bypass Wall Street, beat the banks at their own game, and take control of your financial future. Guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income with no luck, skill, or guesswork required. Your plan doesn't go backward when the markets tumble. Both your principal and growth are locked in. So we're talking about tax-free retirement income. You'll know what your tax rate will be in retirement. Zero. Under current tax law, which protects you from the coming tax tsunami, you're in control. You get access to your money for any purpose with no questions asked and no government penalties or restrictions on how much income you can take or when you can take it. Can't do that with a 401k or IRA. You can get a free report with all the details on how the Bank on Yourself strategy adds guarantees, predictability, and control to your financial plan. Just go to bankonyourself.com/woods. That's bankonyourself.com/woods. All right, well, now, I can't help noticing here that given that you're somebody who, for a living, you kind of coach people through all different aspects of their lives, your business, making decisions, doing so with a clear head and all the rest of it. Well, you were in the very situation that a lot of your clients were in. All of a sudden, I'm faced with these difficult choices and I need to get my head straight and go ahead and make them. So does that actually play into this? Like, are you saying to yourself, oh my gosh, now I'm actually in one of these kind of situations?
Yeah, it's definitely a test of what we lead. I've been in the online business world and personal growth, if you will, for the last 12 plus years. And this is definitely one of the hardest decisions that I've had to make in my life. And not the least of which is because I wasn't expecting it. So we knew we wanted to make the decision without this heavy emotion. And I know, for example, for me, like if it was 14 years ago or even 10 years ago, if I was faced with that decision, I don't know that I would have been equipped to be able to make it in a clear way, because I know there was just like a lot of heavy, maybe anger or frustration. And I think what a lot of people feel, maybe many of the people listening right now, you might be just like having this heavy level of frustration of like, okay, I'm in an environment that is not supportive of like my vision as either a business owner or as somebody who wants to go out there in the world and do something special. You're dealing with having to send your kids to an environment where you have no idea what they're learning and they're coming back unrecognizable. You have an environment where you are getting, I mean, you know, everything is increasing in terms of price. You're paying more. You're getting, you know, taxed more. It's just like everything is very frustrating, right? And it's easy to then get caught up in that frustration and anger and make the decision based off of that, which is why it's very important. I really want to make sure that everybody understands, like, the decision to do something, like, say, like renouncing should never be taken lightly. And what we ended up having to do was we ended up having to live by what we lead, and being in a place where we had the opportunity to be a living example of what we teach. And that's when it came down to that conversation that I had with my wife, and we just put everything on the table. Before we went into that conversation, we went through a process similar to what you went through in the event, Tom. That was kind of like a baby version of it, but it's essentially this process of completely recoding your mental state to be able to make optimal decisions in the face of extreme uncertainty and chaos. Like, that is like the ultimate capacity for you to be able to own your freedom, is in moments where most people would allow circumstances or other things outside of them to control their life. You're able to rise to a place where you can actually commit to a clear vision and direction and make the confident decision and know with absolute certainty and conviction, this is truly right for me and for my family, and this is going to create what I know I am committed to in terms of a vision. So yeah, we had to go through that. And having this decision be such a heavy one, I would say one of the most difficult things that we came up against was something I think a lot of us feel, you know, as Americans, is this link between the values of what we see America as and the real level of depth in that commitment to freedom and family and being able to create an environment where you have full autonomy and sovereignty in your own personal freedom. And then you have the government and the country and all of these things, right? And I think a lot of times, and I know for me, over decades of indoctrination, we tend to mix these two things together in a way where we don't even know what we're really fighting for anymore. We mix them so closely together that when we see somebody mention something against the government or somebody mentioned something against, you know, your side on either issue, you start defending it almost at a level that you would defend the core values of what you believe in, when those may or may not be the same thing, right? And so one of the biggest challenges that I faced was starting to see the real difference between these two. Like, what do I really believe in? And my heritage that goes back is my great-grandparents were from Italy. And my great-grandparents were in it. They lived in a city. They were born and raised in a city that I believe was part of like the Austrian Empire at the time. So I think they were in Northern Italy. And they never met each other until they got to Ellis Island. So I have this beautiful story of like this incredible Italian, you know, family coming to America, meeting in America and creating this beautiful, beautiful story and everything. And so all of those things are challenging, right? To make that decision and say, okay, I'm going to step away. I'm going to walk away and I'm going to leave the US. So those are the things that we had to face. I mean, it was really challenging. And the way that we ended up going about it was for me to really start thinking about, well, why did they leave? Right? Why did my great-grandparents end up leaving? Why do a lot of people, or have a lot of people in the past, left where their home country and came to America? Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, the decision provokes all these kinds of issues and questions. I'm afraid I'm going to forget, though, if I don't ask you right now.
Yes, please.
Can you take 10 seconds to tell us about the irreversible nature of this decision? Remember, they say this is irreversible.
Yeah.
Make sure you're absolutely certain about it. And then when you finally get the paperwork, what was in there?
I'm glad you brought this up. Yeah, that's so I have no idea if sharing this is okay or not, but whatever. Yeah. So during the process, of course, they're very, very clear that it is irreversible, right? Irreversible decision. You can't go back on this. Are you sure? You're really, really sure? And of course, the reasons that they tell you, you know, not to do it, it's like, well, you're not going to be, you're going to lose your voting rights. You're going to lose your Social Security and you're going to lose the ability to get, you know, the embassy protection abroad. So it's irreversible. Well, I'm going through this thinking, okay, it's irreversible. Like I can go back on this. And which inevitably, I will say for us, or at least for me, it allowed me to get to a place where the decision was even more definitive. Because it's just like, okay, if that's the weight of this decision, I'm going to really take it to the level of seriousness that it deserves. So I went through that. And then after your interview, a few months later, or a few weeks later, you get a certification in the mail. And that certification essentially certifies, okay, this is, you know, this is complete. Here is your certification of renunciation, if you will. Well, unexpectedly to us, we also happen to find in this vanilla folder, if you will, a little note. And on it was essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, if you will, but it's essentially like, you know, hey, these are your documents, you know, here's your certification. And, you know, if you happen to maybe rethink this, here's the number to call if you want to.
How about that?
It's like, wait a minute. So that was like something we weren't expecting, but it was just, I will say it was a moment because me and my wife at the time, we were like sitting down and we were kind of going through this and we picked it out and we looked at it and then we both looked at each other. And I will say it was just kind of a moment of, We were able to kind of laugh about it a little bit, of course. But then it was also just a moment of, I would say it was a moment that really solidified the decision. Because if this is like the approach where it's almost like the way that they're attempting to inspire people to be a part of the system is essentially through like that level of, you know, manipulation and just trying to kind of manufacture this connection to this entity. Yeah, it was a solidification that, okay, we really did, you know, this was the right direction for us, right? It's not for everybody. I totally understand that and totally respect that. And I think as well, the people that we experienced in the process that were at the embassy and everything, again, to their credit, I felt they were very professional in being able to respect our decision to go ahead and renounce as well. But yeah, there were funny little moments like that that through the process that were just like, okay.
So you move your family to a whole new country.
Yeah.
I would imagine that there are challenges as well as pleasant surprises when you do that. you know, if you had to distill them, what would they be?
Oh man, pleasant surprises.
Or unpleasant.
No, here's the thing. When we make a decision, I will say, when we make a decision, we are committed to that and we have the intention to win with that decision. We do not make decisions where we are 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Let's go ahead and test this. And I will say, I have seen people, for example, whether it's in Puerto Rico, which happened a lot, actually, there was a lot of people that would go to Puerto Rico, kind of test the waters. And then all of a sudden they would just kind of like go back to the mainland. And it's like, well, okay, were you really that committed to that decision? You're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know if you're doing it for the right reasons. And we've seen that as well. Same thing in and around Panama. We've seen that not as much, but it's just kind of people that kind of come down and maybe stay for like 6 months and I'll see how it goes and if I like it and all these things. We just do not make decisions that way. It's like, if we're going to commit to this, we are all in and we are going to find our way to creating the joy and the freedom and the lifestyle that we are committed to. And so when we made the decision to be here, what we found was honestly the most pleasantly surprising thing was the genuine welcome from other families and other communities that we have here in now in our network. So Tom, like the first day we came and we got here, the very first night, my wife was able to find this community through some groups and WhatsApp and all that stuff, and was able to find a community of other families with other kids. And they had, the very first night we were here, they had a get together. And that get together was maybe 7 or 8 families or so. And that community has continued to get together every single week and bringing families together. And what we've seen over the last couple of years, Tom, is it has gone from those 7 or 8 families to, it's a good 50, 60, 70 families now that are in this community. And it's constant, it's growing with a lot of people. Of course, there's, you know, Americans that come down, and where we're at, it's, you know, Panama has always been a fairly inviting expat place, typically retirees over the last 20 years or so. But there's a lot more families now. There's a lot more, you know, people that are our age with a couple of different kids, you know, maybe 5, 6, between 5 and 12. And there's a lot of people that are coming from the US. There's several people that are here from South Africa that we've met as well, from Europe and things like that. But then there's a ton of families from Canada. And so it's a beautiful community that we were pleasantly surprised to be welcomed into, and also be able to see that we're all here for very much, very similar reasons. Most of them are all very entrepreneurial minded. Most of them are course freedom minded. And most of them are there because they were looking to create something beyond the level of restrictions and mandates that they were faced with that they just simply were not going to tolerate. So I would say that's probably the number one thing that's been pleasantly surprising, just the genuine community that has welcomed us with open arms.
Now, there's no doubt there are people listening right now who aren't necessarily thinking of renouncing their citizenship or even relocating or anything like that. But nevertheless, they could imagine themselves in your situation and they would hesitate to act because either they feel like, well, their circumstances are such that they can't make a big change, or maybe they're indecisive or whatever. I mean, I know there are people listening right now who know what I'm talking about, where they couldn't imagine themselves making a bold move like that, even when they know that probably it's the best course of action. So what kind of advice do you have for people in that kind of situation?
Yeah. So we all have an internal code, right? Like think of your mind like a highly sophisticated like software system where each memory or life experience is like a line of code within that software. So this internal code, your memories, your beliefs, your emotional responses, and all of those things, they directly influence how that software of your mind like functions and the actions and behaviors that you take. And so if that internal code is out of alignment maybe with the results or the things that you want, what we would first, the thing you must be willing to do is you must be willing to go in there and start to recode that system, or else you're never going to do the difficult things that are what you maybe see as an inconvenience, what you maybe see as difficult, what you maybe see as a challenge, because it's too comfortable to stay functioning from the code that you currently operate from. And even if it is something you desire, if it's not in alignment with the code, it's not going to be, you're not going to take action on it. And it's just going to continue to be a wish, right? And this is where, and I know I've certainly fallen into this in the past, but we see a lot of it with the clients that we work with, where they face the challenge of the most meaningful things in their life. And it's so easy to fall into this trap where we use the most meaningful things in our lives as either a crutch or a catalyst. So for example, it's easy to say, and very true to say, hey, I have a lot of responsibilities. I got a family. I got, you know, a wife to take care of. I've got, you know, people that are relying on me. I can't do anything out of the ordinary. I can't do anything so inconvenient and crazy. Like, that's just a huge step. And we can use those things as a crutch. Or you have all the, you know, all the ability to look at it another way, which is, it is because I have people relying on me and I have responsibilities and I have a family and I have a wife that I could serve, that I could step up for, and I have a legacy that gets to be built, that I will be willing to do whatever it takes to own my future and to live from a place of full autonomy and personal freedom. I will not tolerate anything less. That's also an option. And what I've found is that the more we can align our code, our internal code, with what we say is most meaningful to us, the more free you are going to be. And inevitably, that, you know, leads to the most fulfillment. So the thing you would need to do is start to recode that inner conflict that is potentially happening, which is, I want this, I see the opportunity there, but I'm stuck in this place and I'm not able to move beyond it because reason, that may or may not be justified.
It is amazing to me how often in the past I have acted on the basis of implicit assumptions I've had that are false.
Yep.
Things that I'm just sure that I'm not the sort of person who can do that. So I won't.
Yeah.
I'm just not that kind
of person.
Well,
I will say, I've never made any decision in my life that I have felt completely transformed my life from a place of fear that it's this idea that I'm not going to be able to do it, or it's an inconvenience, right? Like, you maybe make it in the face of fear, but you make the decision from the conviction that it's not about knowing every step along the way. This is a mistake that a lot of people make when they think of certainty, right? They think, well, I want to have certainty, man. I want to know what it's going to look like. Like, Jeremy, I hear your story, but if I was in that position, I would just want to know that by the end of it, everything's going to be okay, right? And we think of certainty as knowing every step along the way. However, that's not certainty. True certainty, where you have this calm resolve, where you can show up in the face of any level of chaos and still move forward and make decisions. True certainty is not knowing every step along the way. It is knowing that no matter what step in your way, you're going to show up and do whatever is required to be able to find solutions no matter the circumstances. And that is a conviction and a certainty of you, not of the outer circumstances, that who knows what's going to happen. For example, I had no idea what the 10th step was going to be the moment we started this process. I had no idea. We had to figure it out as we go, right? So if I would have sat there and tried to think about, for example, what was going to be the step once I renounced, once I got my second citizenship, once I took this step, what are we going to do then? And if I sat there and held the decision based off of contemplating those things, I still would be talking to you from Maryland probably and hanging out with Tom there. None of the decisions could have been made.
Folks, some of the smartest and most successful Tom Woods Show listeners are members of the Tom Woods Elite Mastermind. And at our most recent meeting, I overheard one talking to the other, and they were both Crowd Health members. And one said to the other, my wife's hip replacement surgery was $500, and that was it. Well, can I take a wild guess that the Affordable Care Act has not made your care more affordable, and that American health insurance is more frustrating and expensive than ever? Well, that's why CrowdHealth was created. It's not health insurance. It's a better way to pay for healthcare through crowdfunding. Because let's face it, your insurance policy is opaque and full of unpleasant surprises. Your premiums are going up every year. You feel taken advantage of. But CrowdHealth is doing things differently. For $175 for an individual or $575 for a family of four or more, you'll get access to a community of people who are willing to help out in the event of an emergency. You'll get access to telemedicine visits, discounted prescriptions, and so much more without doctors' networks getting in the way. Let CrowdHealth help with your healthcare needs. Get started today for just $99 per month for your first 3 months. Go to joincrowdhealth.com/woods. CrowdHealth is not insurance. Learn more at joincrowdhealth.com/woods. That's joincrowdhealth.com/woods. So this is a maybe close to the last thing I want to ask you.
But yeah.
So I've gotten to know you since, I guess we met in person not that long ago, but I've known you a little bit before that. And I've been intrigued by what you do and how you do it and the way you make your living and the what people are getting out of knowing you. And I'm thinking, I've talked to Jenna about this a number of times. Like, I'm sure glad this guy is our friend because I know it's going to pay dividends to us. But what exactly is it that you help people do? And how would you tie it into, like, you know, what you just did?
It's very simple. We help people get unstuck. All of that internal code that is really creating the inner conflict and feels like a heavy weight in any major decision or any bold decision that could potentially transform everything for you. And you feel like this heavy weight on your shoulders and it feels like you can't even move, almost like you're paralyzed by the reality of having to think or consider this next major move that you're attempting to make. We help individuals that are dealing with that. Especially, we typically work with, you know, accomplished entrepreneurs, professionals, individuals that are really looking to go to the next level in their life beyond the financial success that they may or may not have already had, right? They're looking to create something beyond that and they're struggling because they are dealing with the fear of potentially, like you mentioned, Tom, that a lot of people have. It's like fear of losing it all. Fear of losing the success that they've already acquired in their life and they're doing really well and they got a life where other people are looking at them thinking, man, you have an amazing life. Why would you want anything different? Why do you think you need anything more? And yet they're eating themselves up inside because they feel so alone, thinking, I feel called to more. I feel called to something more and beyond this than just settling for a life of just good enough. And that is a conflict of the internal code. Everything around you is saying, stay where you are, stay comfortable, it's okay. And the code inside of you, the deeper soul of who you are, is saying, no, I have a bigger purpose beyond this. I have more to offer this world in this lifetime. We help people unlock that. We help people get unstuck, get out of their own way, so that they can actually express their greatest potential into the world. And that is usually, like I said, through the clients we work with, that's usually through them sharing their own creative genius in a business or in their professional career at a very high level. And so when you have individuals where a shift in their mind is going to make such a massive, profound transformation in their life and in their relationships and their health and their finances and their ability to live their purpose, you're almost dealing at that point at a degree of, if you wanted to fly from, let's say, Los Angeles to New York, right? If you shift the degree of your direction, even just slightly, you could potentially end up in South America, right? By the time that you actually get to it. So for the people that we work with, those little shifts create massive results and we help them, very simple. We help them get unstuck beyond those blocks and recode that internal dialogue that is holding them back.
Well, I'll say this. Look, there are some times when I've been wrong. I'm not infallible. Old Woods makes a mistake every now and then. I want to confess that there was something that major over the past few years that I have gotten wrong.
Yeah.
And that was, I used to think that what you just said wasn't really the case, that this is all overblown and that people can do this for themselves. And, you know, getting your head on straight is just a lot of woo-woo. That's absolutely false. And I know that for two reasons. Number one, a positive reason in my own life, that I didn't get anywhere until I convinced myself. Like, for instance, when I grew up, I was a nerd and I wasn't in the popular crowd. So the idea that it was even remotely possible that I could have an audience of people who would like me and want to hear what I have to say was unthinkable. Couldn't be. Couldn't possibly be. Likewise, I was an academic, which meant I collected a salary every 2 weeks and I went home and that was the end of it. So therefore, the idea that I would make my own destiny in terms of how I make my living, that was off the table because I couldn't conceive of it. I just could not conceive of it. But when I did come to conceive of these things, everything in my life changed. So I was wrong to say that. But then also, it's that I have seen so many people who are stuck because they don't even realize it. They are enslaved. They are imprisoned in a prison of their own making in their own minds with ideas that aren't true, that absolutely keep them right where they are. And the problem is, I personally don't know how to fix that for them.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain to them that that's wrong. And so I just feel like, well, if they don't see it, I don't know what to do for them. But it absolutely does matter. It absolutely does matter. And let's also think for a minute about what people think about wealth. if you're raised to think that the acquisition of wealth is wicked and only wicked people acquire it, then, you know, are you going to become a successful entrepreneur? Probably not. But those are going to stay lodged in there because you don't even know they're in there.
Yeah.
And so getting your head right is the absolute fundamental step one of anything. So, yep, Woods was wrong.
Well, I think here's the thing. I think one of the biggest disservices in, let's say, the self-improvement arena is this whole idea of self-help. It makes people believe that self-help is meant to be gone alone. And that's the farthest thing from the case. Self-help doesn't mean do it alone. Self-help means you are the inner source of your transformation. And now you are responsible for surrounding yourself with the right people, the right mentors, the right community, the right individuals that bring that to life. And Tom, I think you would agree with this. I know for me, the biggest things that have radically transformed my like growth curve have been when I surround myself with the right people. I've been when I surround myself with mentors that truly are there to serve that higher vision, that have been where I'm looking to go, that kind of know the path that is ahead of me and can help me navigate the obstacles and maybe some of the mistakes as well. And also surround yourself with individuals that are kind of going through that journey along with you so that you have people that you can lean on and that you can rely on. You know, that's one reason why, Tom, that's one reason why my wife and I joined your mastermind, right? Is we want to be around people who are doing meaningful things and looking to bring others along that journey. And so that everyone is able to grow. And when you're around people like that, it's just inevitable you're going to grow because you're going to start seeing things differently, right? That inner code that we maybe are stuck by, it's going to be very challenging if you are attempting to just add things onto the equation, which is another major flaw that people fall into, is they start trying to add things into a broken code. For example, add meditation, you know, cold plunges, all of the different, you know, productivity and self-help things that you can think of. Let's start just adding all of this stuff, but we're operating still from a broken code. Well, if we're doing that, then all of the additional, you know, how-to things are not really going to be extraordinarily effective. And if anything, they potentially could start creating this feeling of discouragement because you're thinking, man, I'm doing all these things and I'm still not making progress. Maybe it's me. And it's not. It's just we're operating from a code that's not in alignment with your true vision and your higher calling. And if we create a connection between those two things, now you can do this and, you know, take all the how-tos and actually do something with it that truly speaks and reflects what you want to create. The best way that I have ever known how to do that is or to facilitate and to amplify that is by surrounding yourself with the right people and getting yourself in an environment where you have great mentors around you and great community of other individuals going through that journey with you.
Well, say a word about your online event and then we'll wrap up for today.
Yeah, sure. So if anyone wants to learn how to recode that and how to go through that process to be able to take a look at your internal dialogue and be able to understand like, okay, where is the block, right? Because that's the first thing we need to understand. What is the real challenge that we're facing? And so if you'd like to recode your biggest obstacle that is maybe holding you back from making the biggest, boldest decisions of your life right now that would absolutely unlock freedom at a level that is untouchable permanently and be able to know that you can go through a process and by the end of it, you'll absolutely know with certainty that this obstacle or this block has been removed, then you can come to this training. I believe, Tom, you might have the link to this. It's a free training. We want to invite you into that space for us to go through showing you. I will literally show you exactly the principles behind recoding, the traps that you must avoid to make sure that you're not falling into that a lot of people do. And we'll actually go through a process to recode it together and make sure that we are going through the steps similar to what Tom experienced that he mentioned before of being able to take that biggest obstacle that's keeping you stuck right now and being able to recode that so you move forward and you can know by the end of that with absolute certainty that it is been cleared and removed. One thing that, Tom, I think you were alluding to in terms of just your overall frustration with with woo-woo personal development, which is totally understandable, is one thing that I really had a challenge with in my journey of the last 12 to 13 years is, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, I have a whole dashboard to run my business in terms of the actual data and being able to make decisions from a place of an intelligent, logical understanding of what really the data is speaking. And it's interesting that if you ask a business owner, would you be able to run your business without that dashboard? And they'd say, well, absolutely not. How could you? And yet we are attempting to run our internal code in our mental state without a dashboard, without any data. And so one thing that we've done over the last decade that I'm very proud of and we've done very well is being able to make all of that, traditional mindset stuff, make it measurable. And in a way where you actually see the data of you being able to go through a process of recoding your mind and being able to understand that it's actually working and know where we need to make adjustments, where there needs to be improvements. So it literally gives you a dashboard to be able to live your life from and be able to make better decisions from. So Tom, I don't know if you happen to have that link.
Well, when you give out links like this, they have a million crazy characters in them. So I was saying beforehand okay. That I can take your link and make it just tomwoods.com/mastery.
Perfect.
And then that way there's no 58 characters to memorize, tomwoods.com/mastery. So I'll tell you, I sat in the room and I had this guy do this to me. And this was unbelievable. I would have had him on if I hadn't had this experience. So I recommend checking this out and attending, because as I say, in 20 minutes, he had me thinking in a much, much healthier way about something very, very important. And as I say, it actually does matter. I thought it didn't, but it actually does matter. So I hope you'll check it out. Jeremy's one of the good guys. And it would be nice to visit you in Panama one of these days.
Oh, you guys are absolutely welcome.
Yeah, we would absolutely love to do it. But in the meantime, I'll say again, tomwoods.com/mastery. Go listen to Jeremy. And in particular, he's right about the making it measurable so that this is not just a matter of, well, I did some exercises. You can actually measure your progress. Thanks to Jeremy. So I appreciate the time, Jeremy, and rehashing your tale of woe that turned into a tale of triumph, but it may not have been obvious at the time that it would, but I'm glad you shared it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Make yourself and those you love less vulnerable to the regime, both mentally and physically. Get more forbidden information at tomsfreebooks.com and be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen. See you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.